man. Hey, we didn't do any Two for Tuesday today. Because, well, we had a couple of music guests on.
We have time.
Time for a Two for Tuesday?
Well, or do we make it a triple play Tuesday since we have three bumps left?
We have three bumps left. Triple play Tuesday.
We kind of had a Two for Tuesday with the musical guest.
We did.
Because he played two songs.
Right? Yeah. And we had two blues songs.
Oh.
See? Well, all right, let's make a triple play third.
2-2-3.
2-2-2-2. 3. 3. Triple play Tuesday. So what, are we going to have somebody text in? That you want to just do that?
Actually, we can make it a two for two Tuesday.
Well, wait a minute. Why don't...
We can bump back after our visit with Steve Krasanich. So that'll give us a fourth bump. So two Tuesdays.
Okay, so, two for Tuesdays.
Yeah.
All right, so if you've got a Two for Tuesday that you would like, text it to us. Two songs by the same artist. Two songs by the same artist. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah.
This is my favorite breakfast special, the 2-2-2.
Yeah, they have that at many diners.
Yes.
So two songs by the same artist. Text them in. Dan will pick them. And it's 312-981-7200. Talk or text 312-981-7200. Two for Tuesday.
Do you go for the bacon Esmeralda or do you go?
I flip flop. I like sausages sometimes. And sometimes I like bacon.
Uh-huh.
I hesitated as I said it, too. Yeah. I was about to say, do you like sausage? But I was just like, oh, better go
sometimes
bacon.
Sometimes country ham.
Hmm.
Oh. See, and here's the beautiful thing. All of that comes from a pig, which is the greatest animal on the planet because everything on the pig and in the pig tastes delicious.
Right. Is it weird that even when I see whole pigs,
I want to eat them?
Yeah, and even they can be adorable little tiny ones and be like, you're going to grow up to be delicious.
Absolutely. Now, do you know that this is absolutely true? I don't know if you know, but this is true. When Babe came out in 1995, the pork industry took a hit because people were like, I don't want to eat ham or bacon or anything anymore.
Right. Like on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Lisa, she'd seen that sheep.
Right.
Don't eat me.
Don't eat me, Lisa. That's the episode where she decides to be a vegetarian. That's the episode where Homer makes the greatest speech of all time. Dan, can you find the audio for that?
And she made gazpacho for everyone.
Wait, that's right. No, that's where Homer makes the greatest speech, the most truthful speech about food ever. Homer Simpson, well, inadvertently, because Homer's so stupid, he doesn't realize where bacon and ham and pork chops come from. But he makes the greatest statement ever about pigs. So, and but yeah, when Babe came out, bacon sales went down because people were like, "Aw, little Babe." That'll do, pig.
That is true. They saved him, didn't he? Didn't he have other friends in the beginning?
He had all kinds of friends.
And no, but he had other pig friends.
Yeah.
And they saved him.
But then they all went to the city in the second one.
I mean, hey, if the pig starts talking or, you know, doing extraordinary things,
yeah,
then maybe I'll not
well,
eat
that's,
him.
What are you, Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction? What are you talking about?
They're going to do supernatural things. They're not going to do that. I'm going to still eat.
Remember the scene in Pulp Fiction?
He eats it because they're dirty, or he doesn't.
Yeah.
And because his girlfriend is vegetarian,
pig's
so he's practically
that's
vegetarian.
Right. Pig's a filthy animal. But he says he's got to be like Arnold. He's got to be like Arnold the pig.
Right. I mean, yeah, I won't eat Arnold. I'll eat his stupid friend that's next to him.
Who doesn't talk.
But not Arnold.
Okay, I'll eat an Arnold. I don't care if the pig can talk. If they taste like that. Do we have it, Dan? Here we go.
Wait. Lisa, honey, are you saying you're never going to eat any animal again? What about bacon?
No.
Ham?
No.
Pork chop?
Dad, those all come from the same animal.
Yeah, right, Lisa. A wonderful, magical animal.
That's exactly what a pig is. It's
yes.
A wonderful, magical animal, and I will eat it from tail to snout.
Did you guys hear about Ioannis Cespedes and purchasing that pig?
Who?
No.
So
you have to explain
Ioannis
who that
Cespedes
is.
Plays on the Mets.
Yeah.
And, okay.
He is crazy.
Yes, he is.
A number one.
Yeah.
But he went to the local state fair and bought a $7,000 pig, the grand champion hog, and then he sent it right to the butcher. And it's just like, there you go.
He's probably really good because they probably massaged that one. And
well, you know, that's what the, you know,
delicious food.
When you know, when fair season comes around and Big O talks about the fairs and stuff, they sell off these cattle, these, you know, the prize winning judged cattle, you know, they sell them off. And then they have, and it's in it, they have like, you know, $200 steaks that are that are cut from the cow.
Oh, it's probably so good.
Oh, I bet it's delicious.
Prize winning. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I bet it's just amazing. Yeah. How did we get on this?
Because I said breakfast special.
Oh, right. Breakfast special. See, that gets you right to the magical animal. The magical animal.
And it's morning.
It is. It is morning.
Go have some breakfast, folks.
Yeah. Enjoy your pig while you eat it. That's another reason why, and I've talked with Orion about this as well. He knows how much I love the McRib. I still maintain the McRib is the greatest fast food sandwich ever. It's the best. And Orion loves the McRib too because pork belly futures and pork futures go through the roof.
That's really pork belly?
It's pork.
I know, but
I don't
pork
think the,
belly.
I don't think it's pork. I don't think the pork belly futures go through the roof, but the pork goes through. Like pork goes through the roof
because so many people are eating them.
Yes, because they use it. It's in it, and there's the shocking thing. It really is pork. It's not like I'm sure there are a bunch
that
of additives.
Shocking.
I'm sure there's a bunch of additives and stuff in there because you know no piece of pork looks like it has fake ribs in it.
Well, it could be ground.
It is.
Well, there you go.
But it is processed to hell. There's no question about it. I'm sure it's got all kinds of additives and stuff in it. But the point is that they use enough pork and they sell enough McRibs that it absolutely affects the markets. And this is absolutely true. And every time I talk about the McRib, Orion thanks me.
It's, again, The Simpsons when he eats the, what is it? What do they call it? The crusty. It's made of an animal, but that one was made of an animal that didn't exist.
That's right. Oh yeah, the crusty rib or whatever it was called. Yeah, crusty doesn't use real food.
No, that's why they stopped making it.
Yeah,
because the animal went extinct.
That's right. All right. Speaking of extinct, see that?
Wow.
Without even knowing it, Esmeralda helped me.
It was those voices in our heads.
That's right. We're talking about the best Last Man on Earth movies and best End of the World movies and apocalypse movies and TV shows. There happen to be a bunch of them on television right now. There's a lot of End of the World apocalyptic TV shows right now. And there's a real life End of the World apocalyptic campaign that's happening right now, too. Election that's happening. So that's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200. End of the World stuff. Movies, TV, books. 312-981-7200. Yeah, man. Floyd. Wow. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. Boy, going right for Floyd. And not like, you know, that's from Metal. That's not leaking, not even from Dark Side of the Moon or The Wall or Wish You Were Here. That's from Metal. Who requested One of These Days by some Floyd?
So we actually had two requests. One just said General Pink Floyd, and then Mike put in One of These Days.
Wow.
I also thought it was appropriate since it ties in with one of our apocalyptic movies.
Oh. That's fantastic, man.
Yep.
We're talking about apocalyptic movies and Last Man on Earth movies. Now, not all apocalyptic movies are Last Man on Earth movies. Last Man on Earth movies are, you know, mostly about like one person or a few people left on Earth. Now, do you know, by the way, do you know what movie is the last man on, is an apocalyptic movie? Have you any idea? What movie is a post-apocalyptic film? Esmeralda, would you care to guess?
Was it called Crazy Johnny?
Close! Close.
Oh, man.
You're very, very close. It's not Crazy Johnny. It's in fact Mad Max.
Oh, okay.
But you were close.
Sounds catchier.
Crazy Johnny. No, Mad Max. All the Mad Max movies are post-apocalyptic films. All four of them. Yeah. The Last Man on Earth movies and TV shows, apocalyptic TV shows and movies, 312-981-7200, even books and all that stuff. 312-981-7200. Now, there are two network shows on TV right now, and both of them are actually very good, that are about the end of the world. And in fact, the show with Will Forte is called Last Man on Earth. It's not Last. Is it Last Man on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
That is what it's called, isn't it? Why do I keep thinking it's Last Man on the Planet? But it's Last Man on Earth. Last Man on Earth, Will Forte, which is a very, very funny show. And then there is You and Me in the Apocalypse, which is on NBC, which is also a very good show. A very unusual show, because Last Man on Earth is a sitcom. It's a half-hour sitcom. It's very funny, and he's not the last man on Earth. In fact, a lot of, very funny people are on that show, including the last episode had an appearance by the great Jason Sudeikis. He did not play Vance, though, with the red tracksuit and the curly hair, and he didn't do the running man at all.
And he didn't want his potato chips.
The potato chip. He didn't steal. He steals the potato chip from Will Forte. They should have had a scene in the episode where Sudeikis stole potato chips from Will Forte. Just as a little treat for the idiots like me who think that the potato chip sketch is one of the greatest moments in the history of SNL's 41 years. You don't take people's potato chips. And then, but this other one, though, this show with Jenna Fischer and Rob Lowe and this You, Me, and the Apocalypse, it's not really a comedy. It's an hour-long sort of very unusual. There's some funny stuff in it, but it's mostly kind of a serious, amusing, but sci-fi thing. And then, of course, you can count The Walking Dead as apocalyptic. You got Fear of the Walking Dead. There's that futuristic show where everybody's dead. What the hell? That narrows it down, Nick. That narrows it down to about 73 shows that are on cable right now. But, yeah. 312-981-7200. Last Man on Earth is the first one. It's the biggest Last Man on Earth film. It's a 1964 adaptation of Richard Matheson's classic science fiction novel, I Am Legend, which starred Vincent Price. Now, this movie's been made three times. There were three different versions of I Am Legend, or three different movies based on I Am Legend. And it was Last Man on Earth was first in 1964, and that had Vincent Price in it. It's actually a really good movie. Esmeralda, have you ever seen that one, Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price?
I haven't. I don't think I've seen anything with Vincent Price except Thriller.
Have you seen Edward Scissorhands?
Oh, yeah.
That was his last movie.
Oh, okay, well, then I've seen that.
He was lovely in that movie. Yeah. So you got Last Man on Earth. You should see some Vincent Price.
I should do a little marathon.
Yeah, really, because he was an amazing guy. You know which ones, where you should kind of start, Esmeralda, if you just kind of like want to get into some Vincent Price? Go straight to the Poe movies that he made.
Ooh.
He did a series of movies based on Edgar Allan Poe stories that Roger Corman made in the 60s, and they're great. Some of them are really amazing. Murders in the Rue Morgue, Tomb of Ligeia, those are both pretty great things. But, I mean, you know, Vincent Price made a zillion great movies. And, of course, you know, going back to SNL, Bill Hader was fantastic as Vincent Price when they would do the old Vincent Price variety shows.
Yeah, that was always good.
Liberace! All right. Well, we got a break. We're talking about post-apocalyptic end of the world, last man on earth movies, TV shows, and books. If you would love to join us, I'd love you too. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. The news is next. Yeah, man. See, this you would hear this on a two for Tuesday on your classic FM rock jock stations. Yeah, man, Floyd on a twofer. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. So we had Dan. We had two separate requests from listeners for some Floyd.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Floyd, man. You ever get into Floyd, Dan? Were you ever a Floyd dude?
I mean, I appreciate it, but I never went out of my way to see them or buy any albums.
Man, I went through a major Floyd phase, man. I'm telling you. I was 14 when The Wall came out. 14 or 15. You want to say the album came out in 80? Dan, could you find the release date?
Which one?
The Wall? The Wall came, I want to say it was in 1980, so I would have been 15. And if you're a 15-year-old boy and you hear The Wall and it's brand new, like you've never heard it like anywhere on the radio since you were a little kid, you know?
Released 1979, November of 1979.
So I was 14. Yeah, I was 14. Yeah, that is sort of a life-changing thing. It's like, yeah, man, I don't think I've ever... This album speaks to me. You know what album does that to most teenage boys? And I got to say, I never went through this phase. I like The Who. Don't get me wrong. I do. I like The Who. There are many Who albums that I enjoy. And I particularly really love Pete Townsend. I think Pete Townsend is a genius and an amazing songwriter, great guitarist, and a wonderful guy. But I never went through the insane teenage boy Who phase. And that's a real thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not anymore. I don't know. But of my generation? No pun intended. But of people around my age... There is a definite moment where, like, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid, male, goes, like, bananas over The Who. Like, it's like, I don't listen to anything else. That's it. They speak to me. It's the truth. All I can listen to every day, 24 hours a day, is The Who.
See, now I thought, what was that metal band? And they have the big scary monster, Eddie.
Maiden?
Yeah. I always thought that was like a thing.
Well, Maiden was a thing for teenage boys.
Yeah, teenage boys.
A lot of that. But that wasn't like some, like Maiden's great. You're a 14-year-old boy and you see Eddie, a big inflatable Eddie flying around
right.
on stage. And they're great. Maiden rules. There's no question about it. But on a much more significant level, The Who hits teenage boys.
Hmm.
Like Quadrophenia is an album that I think profoundly hit a lot of teenage boys. Whereas, like, Maiden is awesome if you're 15. You're like, yeah, that kicks ass. Look at Eddie. But there's something about listening to Quadrophenia, especially if you're sort of an outcast or something, if you're a teenage boy going through puberty and you're dealing with some issues. That album, for a lot of my friends and a lot of guys who were growing up, that album meant something big. Like, it really profoundly affected them. And it is a major thing. I don't know if 312-981-7200 talk or text, if you're a guy and you went through a Who phase. I never went through the crazy Who phase. I like The Who, but I had friends who were like, that's it. I won't listen to any other music.
Wow.
Pete Townsend is my god, and I will never listen to anything ever again.
Yeah, see, I never encountered that.
It might be generational. I mean, it really might. Because maybe now people, you know, like kids nowadays, when they listen to the, they probably don't even, you know, don't care maybe. But when I was growing up, like in the 70s, it was like people went like the teenage boys went nuts. For me, that was The Wall. The Wall was the album that had the effect that Quadrophenia had on most other teenage boys. But The Wall had that effect on me. I actually, when the Final Cut came out, the Final Cut was Pink Floyd's follow-up to The Wall. And by this point, Roger Waters had pretty much taken over control of the band. And they were all like, all, you know, like all his concepts and his ideas and his hang-ups. He had serious issues with women. Roger Waters, serious issues with women and his mother. No question about it. But by that point, Roger Waters had pretty much taken over Floyd. And I actually skipped school the day that the Final Cut came out, and I went to Flipside and I bought it the moment the record store opened. I skipped school, and this was towards the end of my senior year, like when I should have been there. Like I think maybe there were like tests coming up or something important, and I said no. No, it's very important that I get the first copy of the Final Cut. And I went home and I listened to it 8,000 times. I was a big Floyd fanatic. So I did the Floyd. A lot of my friends did the Who thing, the teenage boy, oh my God, Quadrophenia changed my life. I did the Floyd, oh my God, The Wall changed my life. You know, the movie version of The Wall, that's kind of an end of the world thing.
Yeah.
The Wall has a very end of the world feel to it.
I can see that.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie?
I have.
It's pretty great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great. I'm surprised you saw that.
Yeah, you know where I saw it?
Why?
Channel 11.
What?
Yeah, I'm not joking. They played it one day. I was like, all right, we're watching this.
Channel 11 showed Pink Floyd The Wall.
It was years ago, but yeah.
With Bob Geldof.
Yeah.
Wow. You have significantly blown my mind right now.
Channel 11's cool, man.
Well, I'm not claiming that they're not cool, but that's weird. Dan, don't you think that's weird? Channel 11 showed the Wall?
No, I think that fits. I mean, that's a piece of art.
Yeah. Right.
They surprise you sometimes.
And it's also got really cool, weird animation. And PBS, you know, had many shows dedicated to weird animation.
Right. I mean, they have Doctor Who.
Yeah, well, Python had weird animation.
Right. So
oddly, Python, British, all the animation done by an American guy.
Right.
Terry Gilliam, only American Python. All right, we got a bunch of texts coming in about end of the world stuff. Do you have a favorite end of the world movie? You ever see Night of the Comet?
No.
Oh, good.
Because it's awful?
Oh, no, it's good. No, it's good. Oh, it's good. How about Miracle Mile? You ever see Miracle Mile?
No.
Oh,
I haven't really watched many End of the World.
Well, you've seen Mad Max.
Right.
So you're just going to go downward now at this point. It's all downhill from there.
I've watched those disaster movies.
Those are like, yeah.
Which are not great.
Like Armageddon, all that crap.
Right. The ones, you know, where they're tumbling down New York City.
Yeah.
With water.
Wait a minute. No, that's, which?
It's with
Deep Impact?
Yes.
Deep Impact is... Tia Leone. What did she play in it?
She's like a reporter or something. I just remember.
What's the one where Jake Gyllenhaal?
I think it's the same one.
He runs from cold.
It might be the same one. I just remember Tia Leone.
No, 2012 is that's Cusack running from cold. No, there's a one where everything that like it's Dennis Quaid and Dennis Quaid is on one side of the country and Jake Gyllenhaal's on the other. And he's running from cold. It's one of the stupidest movies. Oh, the Day After Tomorrow.
There you go. I think that was
what's his ass? Roland Emmerich, the idiot who did the Independence Day.
Oh, is that his?
Yeah, and he's got the new Independence Day coming up. My God, does that look horrific?
Yeah, no, it doesn't look.
Well, the first one was terrible. All right, here we go. Brian in LaPorte says my favorite movie of all time is Planet of the Apes. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
The original Omega Man with Charlton Heston. See, now that's not original because it's a remake of Last Man on Earth, but they call it the Omega Man. And then I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Oh, I've seen that one.
That's a good... I like that movie.
Yeah, it was okay.
God, why do I like that movie? Everybody I know hates it, and people make fun of me when I say
I wouldn't watch it.
I liked it. My favorite apocalyptic movie is A Boy and His Dog, The Ending Rules. That's a great movie. You know who's in that movie?
Who's that?
Don Johnson, a very young Don Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. mid-70s? Young Don Johnson, like way before he became, you know, sockless and, you know, and in pastels in Miami Vice. WALL-E is a post-apocalyptic love story. WALL-E is one of my favorite movies of all time, and that absolutely is a Last Man on Earth movie. The first 20 minutes of that movie is virtually no dialogue, and it's just WALL-E doing his stuff.
Right, yeah.
It's another one of those damn movies that makes me bawl.
Pixar.
It's my favorite Pixar movie.
Yeah, they all make you cry.
Do you have a favorite Pixar?
Oh, man. Is Up? Is that one?
Yeah, Up is Up.
I like that one.
Yeah, they make you cry in the first 10 minutes of that one.
Oh, gosh, I can't take it.
You know, it was like, because every Pixar movie at some point makes you cry. They right, get it yeah. out of the way. In Up, it's the first 10 minutes. First 10 minutes, I was a wreck. Like, I was sobbing. And, you know, I was like, what do you do? What the hell, man? Usually it takes about an hour, hour and a half for a Pixar movie to make me sob
right
off the bat.
Yeah. No, they're just showing their power that way. They're like, look what we can do.
What about the William Shatner movie with the spiders? 847 area code says. Why, do you mean Kingdom of the Spiders? Kingdom of the Spiders.
Is it just a bunch of, spider planet?
No, it's Earth, and it gets overrun with spiders.
Little ones or big ones?
Regular-sized spiders. It's not like a giant insect movie.
Right.
It's not like Food of the Gods, where they have like giant rats and stuff.
So just
lots of spiders. And at one point, William Shatner gets attacked by a bunch of spiders and bit, and there's a shot. I'll never forget this. When I was a little kid, I saw it at the Parkway Theater, Clark and DeVersey, in Chicago. I was maybe 10 when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets attacked by a bunch of spiders. He's crawling on the floor, and spiders are biting him. There's like 100 spiders on him. And the camera like zooms in on his face, and there's a giant welt on the side of his cheek. And it's like the weirdest thing. I mean, I don't know. It was like a weird growth. Like the spider bit him, and then some weird small pineapple-looking kind of thing jutted out of the side of his face. I was like, I remember being a kid going, wait, that's what happens when you get bit by a spider?
Yes.
This giant pineapple starts growing out of your head?
Oh, does he make it?
Yeah, he does. He's Shatner.
Good.
You can't kill Shatner.
Does he just have to become the spiders, the overlord spiders?
No, it's not. He's not Kirk in it. He's not Captain Kirk.
Yeah, but he could still, you know, his new overlords of the spiders.
Yeah.
He's got a
Twilight episode, Time Enough at Last. That's a classic one. Don says Twilight Zone episode, Time Enough at Last, is one of the great apocalyptic thrillers. All right, 312-981-7200. And also, if you want to text in, how many teenage boys out there, well, not now, but when you were once a teenage boy, how many people went through the Floyd Wall phase, and how many people went through the Who Quadrophenia phase? And the Who Quadrophenia phase, I think, was much more intense for guys. Because just judging from the experience that my friends went through, like it was like, they heard Quadrophenia, they started becoming obsessed with the Who, and this is this isn't like a 6-month obsession, like some things. These guys were like, the Who, everything else sucks. Everything on the planet sucks. Except for Pete Townsend and the Who, and especially Quadrophenia. You know? I quit school. I'm just going to sit in the basement and listen to Quadrophenia 24/7. So.
Isn't there a movie?
Yes. And it's great. Oh. It's great. Sting's in it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we have to take a break, and then we'll talk about more obsessions about Who, Floyd, and End of the World. That all kind of ties in.
Quadrophenia seems.
Tommy feels like an End of the World kind of movie.
Right? Well, he becomes God or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
That movie was crazy. Oh, man. Any movie where Oliver Reed sings is awesome because he can't carry
it. And Margaret was just having
man
a freak
Margaret,
out.
Man, rolling around on the floor and baked beans and soap. Please. That fed some fantasies for me as a prepubescent, let me tell you.
Oh, boy.
All right. Number 23, Michael Jordan. Somebody really requested Alan Parsons Project. Dave requested the Alan Parsons Project on Two for Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember that was a joke in one of the stupid, unfunny... Yeah, baby, with the Austin Powers.
Right, that was the...
Seth Green said it, right?
Right, big... Because he was doing the... No, it was...
Dr. Evil's evil plan was called the Alan Parsons Project or something. And Seth Green was like, no, you can't.
He was giggling about it. Because Dr. Evil didn't know. Yeah. He's been frozen.
Well, those movies aren't funny at all. God, those movies suck. Oh, my God. All right.
You gave me like little mini-me and they did a little rap.
No.
And,
no? None of it's funny. It's not funny.
Oh, man.
Mike Myers is not funny. Mike Myers, by the way, is a thief. Mike Myers is an absolute thief. He is an absolute, all the way in his days from Second City, he is a bit stealer.
Oh, boy.
He is a bit stealer. Dr. Evil is, he stole that. It's essentially a Lorne Michaels impersonation.
Yeah.
But he stole that idea and that impersonation from Mark McKinney, who did it on Kids in the Hall, and who did it in Brain Candy 3 years before Mike Myers did it. And you can kind of trace a ton of stuff that Mike Myers is known for back to somebody else who did it 4, 5, 6, 10 years earlier.
Oh, boy.
One of the most unoriginal comedy thieves in the history of the medium is Mike Myers.
Even when he was Simon?
With the British when he's in the tub?
He's in the bathtub.
Yeah. I know. Here's Craig on WGN. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, Night of the Comet is so criminally underrated, but it's also such a time capsule of the 80s, too.
Yeah.
It's one I still have on VHS.
Yeah. I agree with you. Night of the Comet's a great movie, and it was one of those movies like The Thing, which, by the way, I'm showing tonight at the Movie Go Theater in Rosemont, which when it came out, received bad reviews and no one went to see it. And now, years later, Night of the Comet is considered a classic.
As it should be.
I agree. I totally agree. It's a terrific movie. Now, Craig, have you seen Miracle Mile?
I have not seen Miracle Mile. Dude, I was actually going to throw in Zombieland.
Well, Zombieland is great, too. But Miracle, I'm telling you, if you like Night of the Comet, check out Miracle Mile. Seriously.
I'll have to look for it.
It also takes place in L.A., and it also takes place in the 80s. You should check it out, Craig.
I will have to track it down on Amazon.
All right, man. Take it easy. Yeah.
Are we doing science things right
now? It's Alan Parsons Project.
I feel like we should be doing
this. Well, you know what the song is? You know what this is called?
What?
iRobot.
Oh, boy.
Same.
Which, again,
is also
a little,
kind of an end of the world movie.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, look at that. Okay. 630 area code says, I think you're showing your age, dude. Late 80s and early 90s were all about Maiden. If you listen to The Who, you were a dork. Yeah, I am showing my age, dude.
That's some rough.
Because in the late 80s and early 90s, I was in my 20s, and Maiden was for dorks. So there you go. 331 area code. Whoa, whoa, watch yourselves about Maiden. What the hell is going on with the...
Oh, man.
So here's what we're discovering about Maiden fans. That they are... What's the word I'm looking for?
They need to be active listeners?
No, they're not confident. What's the word I'm looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? Not it's like the opposite of confident. Insecure.
There you go.
Yeah. Completely insecure. Maiden fans, completely insecure.
Well, maybe because the live shows essentially look like Spinal Tap.
Here's listen to this. 331. Whoa, whoa, watch yourselves about Maiden. Still put on one of the best live shows around, and they just put out a kick-ass album in 2015, and they are still kicking it hard.
Wow.
Dude, it's Maiden. Calm down.
Yeah, I saw them expecting a lot, and then I went, what?
Let me tell you something. I will say something about Maiden. I like Maiden. They're cool. They're fun. A blow-up Eddie Dahl jumping around,
right.
Fun.
One of the guitarists slays him with his guitar.
Of course. And I will say this. Steve Harris is one of the best bass players in the history of metal. An extraordinarily talented bass player. But they're Maiden. They're just Maiden. Calm down. To say Maiden and The Who in the same breath is kind of a joke.
Yeah, it is.
And then somebody says, I went through a Rush phase. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm talking about, though, like a profound phase. Rush is not profound. They have a song about trees. They have a song about unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. Like, The Who was about what it was like to have struggles as a guy and a young kid. Mm-hmm. Floyd was about that kind of stuff, too. Rush was like Temples of Syrinx. You had some issues with the Temples of Syrinx. And I'm not putting down Rush. I happen to love Rush. I think Rush rules. But there's a difference. There's, like, depth to what The Who and Floyd does. Mm-hmm. And then you got Maiden with Blow Up Eddie and Temples of Syrinx and Trees with Rush. Dan, you're laughing. Why? What's going on? Are the Maiden fans coming out now?
They are coming out.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, no.
I figured as much.
Legion. They're gonna sick out.
Well, you know why? Because they got to get up and catch the school bus really soon. That's why. And they'll be pissed if Eddie's not driving the school bus to science class. How about the Hunger Games, they say? I guess that's end of the world, right?
Yeah.
San Andreas rules because The Rock is rock solid. Thank you. And then 606 area code says, you need to read the 1954 book, I Am Legend. We mentioned that, and it is great. And then the TV show, somebody mentions, you ever watch The Strain?
No.
Oh.
Where's that at?
FX.
Okay.
Real good. Real. It's end of the world vampire / zombie stuff.
Mm.
Oh, it's really good. Season 2 just ended, and you got to watch it. Guillermo del Toro is the guy responsible.
Oh.
He's the creative genius behind it. Look it up. I'm sure they're online.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The Strain. Really, really cool. All right. If you want to check out that list of all the really cool end-of-the-world movies, it's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be Wham Wednesday Wild Card Wednesday. Okay. See you tomorrow. Here we go. News next.